anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on their forehead or on their hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Father, I pray that you'll take these words and help, Lord, them to come to an understanding in our own hearts how important it is for us to be diligent about telling people about Jesus. Lord, you are coming soon. It's obvious, it's evident, more so than ever, that the days are drawing near. The time is coming. This will happen. And I pray, Father, that we will be ready to give a word on your behalf to everyone we come in contact with. Because that is our duty. That is our mission. That is our call. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor, would you turn on your mic, please? Is it on now? There we go. I figured as long as I could hear myself, everybody else could hear me. Yeah. Well, this morning, if you have your outlines with you, you can follow along. Verses 6 through 13 tell us of a time very soon when the judgment of God is coming. Now, the judgment of God is coming on those that are unrighteous. That's what we're looking at today. But there's also judgment that are coming for those that are walking in Him. Because God is ultimate judge. In verses 6 through 11, we see how God will deal with those who have rejected Him. Then in verses 12 and 13, which we'll be in next week, we will see the future of those who have received Him. There's a choice for everyone, by the way. Every person who is alive has a choice whether to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior or not. I hope that you will see today God's will is that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every person that hears my voice today will reach the end of your earthly journey someday. There'll be an end of the road of your earthly journey, the road for each of us. We do not like to think about it, but we need to know what is coming so that we can be properly prepared for that hour. And when the end comes, you and I need to be ready. When the end comes, there will be no more time to prepare. When the end comes, how we leave this world will be how we enter eternity. I was thinking about that this week in multiple levels because just like you, I have people in my life, in my spheres of influence, in my friendships, that I know, as much as I can know, they don't know Jesus. They might nod their head towards Christianity. They might say, hey, it's okay with you, but it's not for me. But there are people that I know that if this day comes and they're not ready, they're going to be separated from God in eternal torture forever. Now, I don't know if that bothers you, but it bothers me. It should bother us. It should make us so desire to see them come to know Christ that we would do whatever it takes. To do whatever it takes. Now, I know a lot of people are very self, conscious about trying to share their faith with somebody else. And if that's you, let me just tell you something. You can still share your faith, even if you don't do it verbally. Write it down. Mail them a letter. It might even be easier for them to not feel like they're being confronted in person. But why would we not take the opportunities that God gives us to share the good news. Why would we not? Why would we put it off? Why would we? Obviously, the only reason that we would is because it doesn't matter that much to us. Right? Well, this morning we want to look at the final proclamation that is given. In verses 6 and 7 it says, I saw an angel flying in midair. He had an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. This angel's voice now is proclaiming all over the world. He's not going to need a PA system. He's not going to need any kind of electronic system. He's not going to have to get on CNN and ABC and MSN and all those other. He's going to proclaim it, and everyone's going to hear it. Everyone. This voice will be heard by the whole world. Unfortunately, still there will be many people who hear the voice of this angel, but they won't listen. Now, can you imagine that? I would think that if I heard an angel, I might ought to listen to it. But the world is going to be in such a sad state by this time, which, by the way, no, we're not that far from it, that even though people know this is a word that's coming down from God, they're still not willing to listen. What a sad state that is. What a horrible time that's going to be. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14 says it like this. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. They'll be so fooled by the things of this world. They'll be so swayed by the things of their selfish nature. Even though they hear the truth proclaimed by an angel of God all over this world, they'll still not believe. What a tragic, horrible, terrible time that's going to be. The scripture says the angel is proclaiming the eternal gospel. We know the word gospel means good news. The gospel is eternal in nature and in promise, by the way. Now think about this, folks. People are making an eternal choice by either listening to the gospel or turning away from it. They're making an eternal choice. It's not one that they, and I've heard people say this, well, you know, I'd like to do that, but I'm just not ready yet. I'm not ready. You're not ready to receive eternal life. You're not ready to have the best thing you could ever have. You're not ready for that. You're ready for the opposite. Because to turn down the gospel is to accept the results of not having the gospel. And I just don't think a lot of people get that. And it may be because for many, many, many years, people have tried to proclaim the gospel in such a way of saying, you've got to take this. Nobody likes to have something shoved down their throat, right? But the fact is, we have to share the gospel in love. That's what Jesus did. He didn't walk into a town and kick down doors and scream at people and tell them, hey, if you don't take me, you're done. What he did is he went in and he met their needs. And I took a class in seminary called Personal Evangelism by a guy named Dr. Oscar Thompson. One of the greatest guys I've ever known. He went on to be with the Lord about 3 years after I got out of seminary because he was struggling against cancer that whole time I was there, and we didn't really even understand that. He had such a passion about telling people about Jesus. And he had such a passion of teaching young men in the ministry how to do that. What a great guy he was. But the reason he was so great was because he was motivated by the love of God that was in him. And so every class that we had wasn't about, these are the four steps that you have to tell them, walk them through you, these are the three things. You know, wasn't about that. It was about seeing the needs that they have and meeting them. That's why it was called lifestyle evangelism. Finding out what they like, what they don't like, what they're into, what they love to do, and bridging the gap in that area and opening up doors of being able to share with them. I think we're too busy doing our own thing so much of the time. And one of the reasons I think God has allowed to happen what has happened right now is that we can just slow down a little bit. Even though you might be quarantined, maybe it's just for one purpose, and that's to get our eyes back on what's really important. Right? What's more important than your neighbor and their life for eternity? What's more important than a family member and their life for eternity? What's more important? Going to work? It's not more important. Pulling the paycheck? It's not more important. The most important thing is our relationship with people all around us. The eternal gospel. The gospel is eternal in nature and in promise. The promise is this: if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll have eternal life with Him in heaven. If you say no to Him, you will also have eternal life, but it won't be with Him. It will be in a place that wasn't even made for people. It was made for Satan and his demons. The choice you make when you hear the gospel is also eternal in nature. Billions have heard the gospel, and yet they have chosen to go their own way. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the road that leads to eternity. Eternal life. Few there be that find it. But broad is the road and great is the way that leads to eternal destruction. And many go that way. Why? Why? I believe one reason is because they don't quite understand the gravity of it. They've been told all their life that it's just a myth anyway. There's not really a God. That's what they're taught in school. And there's no really any right or wrong. You can choose whatever's right for you, or you, it's whatever you feel good about. That's what you can do. That's what they're taught. Look at what Proverbs 14:12 says. There is a way that appears to be right unto man, but the end of it leads to death. I tell you what, folks. There are people all over this world that all they're trying to do is get as much as they can as much as they can get, and sit on the rest of it. That's what they do. I mean, that's their whole life. And they think that by doing those things that they're going to be happy. But they're not. Because they keep trying to get more. They keep trying to do more. And they're never fulfilled. And they're never satisfied. And their soul is weak because they don't have God in it. And so this angel is making a final plea to this world. Today is the day of salvation. Look at what 2 Corinthians 6:2 says. In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. God is sending one last clarion voice that will be heard all over this world, saying to the people who have not yet taken the mark of the beast, please receive my son. This will be the last call of the Lord to come to Christ. Our God has been so patient. But now The time of judgment has come. Think about it, folks. How long has God been patient? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. He's been patiently waiting. Even to a point 2,000 years ago that he says, this is what I'm going to do for you. Because you can't be with me because of your sin, I'm going to take all your sin upon myself. Because I love you that much. And I want you to be with me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice is left for the sins. In other words, there are people all over the world that have heard the crux of the gospel, that Jesus is the one who died on the cross, that he was buried, he rose again, that he's coming again someday. There are tons of people that have heard that, but they've not received it. They've not acted upon it. They've never chosen to follow him. And because of that, they're making their own choice to be separated from him forever. If you've never believed the gospel and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. Why? Because one day soon, it will be forever too late. It will. I don't know if we really believe that. I don't know if the people around us really believe that enough to do something about it. What is it going to take? A pandemic? What is it going to take? A world that's gone completely crazy? Is that going to do it? There will still even be some who will say no. Instead, they will take the mark of the beast just so they can buy and sell. But to do that, they will have to bow before him and proclaim him as God. The second angel then makes a fatal pronouncement. See, there's this philosophy, and it began many, many, many thousands of years ago in a place called Babylon. It wasn't only a real city, but it's more importantly a philosophy of selfishness and self-gratification. That literally started in the garden. Adam and Eve were living in a perfect place. They had no wants. They had everything they needed. They were in the presence of God. What else could they need? And yet they were deceived by Satan, making it sound like they were missing out on something. Well, they didn't know they were missing out on something because they didn't have a selfish nature. It wasn't about them. It's always been about God, and that's what it should be in a wonderful relationship with him. He's the one worthy to be praised, not me, right? But Satan planted that little seed of selfish thought. Hey, if you eat of that fruit, you're going to be just like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. They already knew what good was. They didn't need to know what evil was, right? But they thought, oh, I would like to do that. And so they did. And the rest, as they say, is history. This world is fighting because they want self-gratification. They want to fill their selfishness with everything that they think this world will fill them up with. It's the philosophy that says there's really not a God because self has become their God. I mean, look around the world. Self has become their God. Everything is about me. Everything is about what I want. Everything is about what I desire. Everything is about what can I do to feel good. It's all about me. And so the second angel, look at what it says in verse 8. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. In the King James, it says the harlot. The harlot is a person that seduces somebody by leading them away from right thinking into believing in wrong thinking. And that's exactly what the evil one has done in this world. He's led people into a thought that what's wrong is really right. The purposeful leading of people into sin will now be brought to justice. No longer will God allow this to go on. There's a time of reckoning coming, and it will take place. Now, I praise God that those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are going to be with Him. But there still may be people you know right now. Maybe people in your family. Maybe people that live close to you. Maybe people that you work with or used to work with before the quarantine. Those people may still yet be alive. Because this could happen soon. It could happen soon. And their God has become their own self, their selfishness. The judgment of God is coming upon this place. The judgment of God is coming upon the heresies of Babylon. And none can stay to His hand of judgment. The philosophy behind all of mankind's religious heresies and rebellion against God will be destroyed. And their foundation will be shattered by the wrath of God. Now let me tell you something, folks. All that I ever knew about God as I was growing up is that He loved me. And He does. And that's how I love to look at God. But I want you to understand this. As much love as God has for His creation and for His creatures, He also has a righteous judgment side that has to be fulfilled, because there's going to come a time in history when He says, enough is enough. And the hammer will fall. Why? Because God is judge. He is Jehovah Shofei. He's our judge. And He has to do what's right. And He's not going to allow things that are not right to continue on and on and on. That's why we have a petition, by the way, on your way out. You can sign it. It's in the Sunday school room back there, against abortion. Is that right or is that wrong? It's wrong. But we in America just allow it to continue on. I mean, it's a law. Because we've been taken over by the harlot, the philosophy of Babylon. Let me tell you something, folks. When this time comes, look at what verse 9 says. Verses 9 through 11. The third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on the hand, he too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength into the cup of His wrath, and he will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever, and there is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of His name. See, the third angel appears and preaches a message of judgment to all of those who receive the mark of the beast and who worship the beast. There's going to be a day when the penalty comes. I had an amazing granddad. He was one of the most patient men I've ever been around. He had to be with me because I was like all over the map. I mean, yeah, I was ADD before they knew what that was. I was everywhere. And he was so patient with me. He was always sitting me down and explaining to me what we needed to do, and this is how we were going to do it. He would draw me a picture, which I could get that, because I like drawing and I like pictures. He was patient with me. He just continually worked with me, and he was loving towards me. And I still to this day think of him as one of the greatest men I've ever known. But there was a day when I pushed him way too far. And the hand of judgment came down. And it needed to. I mean, it needed to. I've, for some reason, got some wonderful euphoria out of teasing my little sister. And she was pretty young at the time, and we had a big clothesline pole out in the back, two T poles that had clothesline in between them where we hung our clothes to dry. And I decided I'd pick my little sister up and let her hold on to the pole. And then I walked away. And she was young, probably 4 years old, 3 years old, something like that. And I was laughing. And my granddad didn't like that. And I felt the scourge of God upon me that day. There's a time, there's finally going to be a time when God says it's enough. This third angel appears. He preaches the message of judgment to all who've received the mark of the beast and all who have worshipped the beast. And the message is what will happen to all, this is what's going to happen to all who've chosen this. They've refused the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. Instead, they've chosen the way of the world, selfishness, deceit, mockery, all the things that this world teaches are important. And so because of that, God's hand will come, the judgment. The first part of this says the wine of the wrath of God. The word wrath is translated from the word thumos. It's where we get a thermos from. It's the word that pictures an explosion of wrath, a sudden outburst, a passionate display of anger. When God's wrath is poured out on this world, it will be a time of sudden judgment from which there will be no escape. And you might think, how could God act like that? How could God not act like that? This is not going to be a person whose anger has built up in him for so long that he finally loses it. But this is a God who says lovingly for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, I love you. I've paid the price for you. Won't you take my son? But people will continue to laugh at Jesus and mock him and use his name in vain. And finally, God will say, it's enough. That's it. And the time has come. The scripture goes on to say, we'll be pulled out full strength. When the wrath of God comes on this world, it will be pure and undiluted. Sinners and Satan have never experienced the undiluted fury of an offended God. But they will on that day. Look at what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Hebrews 12, 29, for our God is a consuming fire. When this comes, folks, it's going to be swift and it's going to be complete. And He is holding nothing back. You know what God's doing right now? He's holding everything back. Don't you think God could do this right now? Sure, and He probably should from our perspective. But why is He waiting? Because God is patient. God loves people. God paid the ultimate sacrifice for them. And He's waiting. And He's patient. And He's loving. It goes on to say, the cup of His indignation. The word indignation translates the other New Testament word that's often used, wrath. It's the word org. The word speaks of a slow rising anger. It's used to refer to the sap rising up in a tree. It is a picture of water that rises up behind a dam until the pressure of the water becomes too great and the dam bursts. It's the image of a person holding back their anger, becoming red-faced until finally they explode in wrath. One day the dam of God's wrath will burst, and all of those who are outside of a relationship with Jesus are going to be doomed. And I don't know if that bothers you, but it bothers me. It bothers me in such a way that I just can't give up trying to reach some people in my life. I think I've shared it before, but for 30-some-odd years of our marriage, Ann's dad didn't want anything to do with God. He thought he was a good enough guy. He didn't need somebody else doing something for him. He was a self-made man. He was a military man. He was really good at what he did with his job. He provided for his family. He had bought the house. He had provided their clothes. He had provided their food. He didn't need anything else. But we prayed for him every day. And when opportunities would arise, we'd mention something in his presence, whether it was towards him or not. And he became deathly ill when he was 92 years old. For 92 years, he had told God he didn't need him. But 92 years and 2 weeks, on his deathbed in an emergency room in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I asked him, Do you finally want to give your life to God? Will you ask Him to forgive you and come into your life? And he said yes. And today, he's in heaven. But there'll be a day when it's too late. Do you have somebody in your family? Do you have somebody that's a friend of yours? And if you're honest with yourself, you'd have been putting it off. You've been saying, no, I can't do it. I don't know what to say. I'm afraid to say something. I don't want to push them away. You can't push them any farther than they already are. The cup of His indignation is coming. It's going to explode upon this world pretty soon. And from that point on, they will be eternally banished. The heavenly host and the Lamb of God will stand as a constant reminder to the lost sinner. They're going to be able to see the glory of God but not taste it. A constant reminder to the lost sinner, they did not have to arrive in this horrible place called hell. They would have been saved if they would have turned to Jesus Christ by faith. What could be more tragic than that? Then for eternity, all day long, all night long, constantly being reminded what they could have had they only trusted Jesus. You might ask yourself, Pastor, why are we going through that? Because it's God's Word. I know it's not pleasant to think about. Hell wasn't meant to be a pleasant place. It was meant for punishment of Satan and his demons because they chose to rebel against God. But everyone else who chooses to follow the beast will also be there. You might say, well, I know some good people, and they don't really choose to follow the beast. They just don't accept God. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground here. You're either going to choose Jesus or you're going to choose yourself. And the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You might be here today and you know deep down in the middle of your heart where no one else can see but you. You might say, you know, I really never have trusted Jesus. I want you to understand something. It's not about making a public spectacle of yourself. What it is about is in the middle of your heart, where it really matters, saying, God, I need you. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I trust you with my life. I believe if you do that, you won't mind telling other people about it. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus did for me. I'm ashamed he had to do it for me. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus. You can live your whole life saying you love Jesus but not telling a soul. And I submit to you that if you love Jesus, you'll have to tell people about him. You'll want to tell people about him. He loves you so. Let's pray. Dear Father, this morning, you've given us another opportunity because that's who you are. You're not just a God of second chances, but a third and fourth and fifth and sixth. You continually tell us how much you love us, and then you show us, Father, every day how much you love us through what Jesus did for us on the cross. Lord, how can we walk away from that? Lord, there might be someone here in this very room today who would say, Pastor Rod, I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to go where he wants me to go. I want to do what he wants me to do. I trust him to forgive me by the blood that he shed on the cross and it covered my sins. I trust him and I give him my life today. If you would make a step like that, I guarantee you, according to God's word, not according to what I say, but according to God's word, that you will receive eternal life. Maybe you're listening online today. still safe at home, but are you really safe at home? You might be safe from a virus, but you might not be safe from an eternal virus that will take your life continuously forever. Would you, right there where you are, would you trust what Jesus has done for you? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. God has changed me from the inside out. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. I still make mistakes. Sometimes I even choose to go the wrong way. And I have to confess it before God and ask Him to forgive me. But God is good all the time. And He loves you so very much. So right there where you are, would you just pray a simple prayer like this if you desire to do so and you really mean it? Say, dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, I know You love me. Deep down in the midst of my heart, I know You love me. And I know it because You allowed Your own Son, who knew no sin, to become all of my sin for me. And to pay the price of my sin. Death. Pay the price of my sin on the cross. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask right now that You'll come into my life and change me from the inside out. And You'll make me a brand new person. I want to follow You. I give You my life. In Jesus' name. That's where you are this morning. And you prayed that prayer. If you're here today, I'd encourage you to come. And just let me know that you've done that. And we'll rejoice with you. If you're watching online, would you just put a little note online that you trusted Jesus Christ today, gave Him your life? And we would love to just follow up with you and just help you grow. Whatever God has said to you this morning, I want to encourage you to do what He says, because the time is coming very, very soon. Let's stand, and we're going to sing through this hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, I'm here to talk with you, to pray with you, whatever God has said.